This is an iHeart podcast.
All right, we're going to talk about the election coming up. And yes, I know that's not exactly news to you, but for most of the normies out there, it will be news. What election? We just elected Trump. No, there are really important off-year elections, midterm elections. There are elections all the time. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because I'm talking to you. But for the normies who may be watching, when's the last time you went on your Secretary of State's website? Yes, you have a Secretary of State in your state. When's the last time you went on his or her website and found out when the next election was in your area? There could be one tomorrow. Could be next weekend. I know this is not news to you, but it is news to too many people that we actually have a lot of different elected offices in this country. It's not just the ones in Washington, D.C. It's not just president. It's not just senator. It's not just the House of Representatives. And my concern, part of the reason we're doing this show tonight, my concern is, you know, there's an old saying, very, very old. There are many different versions of it. But success is very, very difficult to deal with. Very difficult to handle success. This is true in so many different walks of life, in your personal life. When you, let's say you get rich, maybe you get successful, nice and rich. It's hard to improve. Get motivated, work out more, learn a new language. Why? I've made it. Sports teams do this. You come off a Super Bowl win, you have a down year the next year. You don't work out as hard. You feel good. You're comfortable. We had a huge November. We took back the White House. We have the House. We have the Senate. And more than that, the culture right now is going our way. These are good things. I'm not complaining at all. These are good things. But it is human nature. Does it make you or me lazy? It's human nature to look around and go, whew, thank goodness. I'm going to take some time off. I got to relax. You know who's not taking any time off? The communists. They're not going to wait for 2028 to try to claw back power. The communists have always understood. Democrats have always understood there are many layers of power in the United States of America. There's business power. There's all kinds of local political power, state political power. There are all kinds of little choke points of power you can go grab much, much sooner than 4 years before there's another presidential election. The communists understand this. And look, the school boards are the soft underbelly of power in this country. It's a soft underbelly for both sides. The communists have known about the school boards forever. That's why your red town has a bunch of DEI lessons in the school curriculum, because the Republican parents stay home. They don't even know about the school board elections. All the communists go get on the school board and make sure your son turns gay. That's what happens in this country. It's a soft underbelly we can exploit. Not many people turn out for these elections. All we have to do is care. If we don't care, people like this run the school board.
I'm running for the school board. Oh, those are so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you.
That's all right.
I like to run the
phone.
That's all right.
Anyway, I'm a veteran and I'm a former administrative law judge, so just recently retired like 5 years ago, so I have time now to be a school board. I've never been on the school board before, but I'm sure I can handle it.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything to do with the eMERGE groups?
Oh, how do you know about eMERGE?
I ran for state representative in Tracy Bellinissa.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I do. I actually sent Alicia.
Okay.
Alicia.
Okay. All right. That's all I think. Thank you.
This is a nonpartisan race.
I realize.
Yeah. You're not interested in...
No, I'll go.
Okay. We don't want emerge candidates in
New Mexico.
Okay. Well, we don't want
my
either. You say because
I got it on camera.
Good, I'm glad. See you on Facebook.
In charge of your child's education. They're focusing on school boards. What will they do when they take the school board away from your child? What will they do when they take over and they get to run the education for your child? While we're celebrating Trump in the White House, here's what they do.
Poudre School District is committed to providing a safe and welcoming learning environment where all students, employees, families, and community members are recognized, supported, included, and celebrated. I just got an email, excuse me. Regardless of their gender identity, gender expression, or sexual orientation, and the board strives to ensure that they are seen, accepted, valued, and celebrated for who they fully are. I thought that was important to read.
I just want to take a moment to say thank you to everyone who is supporting this LGBTQIA plus History Month. I also want to point out that it's Banned Books Week. And so that's one of the things that you'll see a lot is that the LGBTQIA books that get banned, that's one of the more popular reasons to try and ban a book is because of the LGBTQIA content. And I just thought I wanted to share with you a little piece of history. So guess which authors are queer? And it's probably some classics that you didn't know. Things that we think of as classic love stories were written by queer authors because they are love stories. So I just want to share that in history today, in the LGBTQI History Month. This is about love. It always has been, always will be.
Feel like running for school board? In the very least, you feel like finding out when your next school board election is? Maybe texting some friends, have some people over, watch some football on Sunday, bring it up, encourage people to get out there. These people aren't sitting back accepting a loss because the culture is going their way. They are as after your children today as they have ever been. Remember when Terry McAuliffe ran for governor in Virginia, got a little too honest?
I'm not gonna let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Oops. Hey, credit to Terry McAuliffe. He doesn't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. These people have not forgotten about the other choke points of power. While we focus on the White House and the border and the Senate and the House and the continuing resolution, there are elections all the time. Shoot, if you're in Virginia, there's a big one coming.
I'm wondering why my opponent won't say beyond it's abhorrent and disgusting, why she won't say it is not okay and that he must leave the race because Jay Jones advocated the murder, Abigail, the murder of a man, a former speaker, as well as his children who were 2 years, 2 and 5 years old. You have little girls. What would it take him pulling the trigger? Is that what would do it? And then you would say he needs to get out of the race? Abigail, you have nothing to say? Abigail, what if he said it about your two children, your three children? Is that when you would say he should get out of the race, Abigail? You're running to be governor.
Ms. Earl Sears, I know you're saying that you would not personally say this, but do you think still that there is that place for that kind of rhetoric, the example that we gave, even coming from others? You have 30 seconds.
So I'm responsible for my behavior and what I've said. I've just said I wouldn't say that. I would not speak that way.
That's coming up in like 5 minutes in Virginia. It's not just Virginia. We forget about New Jersey. There have been trends in New Jersey. New Jersey's been trending our way. We have a chance to keep these demons out of office.
Should parents have the right to opt their kids out of LGBTQ-related content in the same way that right now they can be removed from sex ed and health curriculum classes?
Look, I believe that parents have the right to oversee their children's education. I would push in LGBTQ education into our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out because this is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. And right now we see, for example, at
all
the
right.
Naval Academy,
Steve Sweeney,
an erasure of...
No. You don't get to opt out of that. No, 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 no. We're going to take your child, we're going to park them in a chair, and we're going to teach them they can be gay. They probably are gay. They're probably trannies. If you like being a tranny, tell us. We won't tell your parents. These people are sick, demonic freaks, and they're not waiting for 4 years to take back power. They're running for power right now. Get involved. All right? All right. We have a huge show for you tonight. In fact, we're going to expand a little bit more on that Virginia race. We kind of dismiss Virginia sometimes, too. Think of it as purple. We kind of got lucky last time because of some missteps. Virginia's in play. Talk to Carly about it next. I am a chip freak. I know that there are people, there are pretzel people or people who like sweets. You know, you want to sit around and eat candy. Ever since I was a kid, all I wanted were chips. And now I'm 44 and I'm still addicted to chips. It's very clear that I'm going to eat chips till the day I die. The problem is all these chips you buy in the gas station will actually kill you. And so I needed something else. I heard about Massa chips from a friend. I was told only 3 ingredients, so they're so much better for you. So immediately I thought, they're going to be disgusting. They're going to be gross like all the other health food. Massa chips are my favorite chips. If everything was equal, I would still eat Massa chips. You don't feel all bloated and horrible after you're done because it's just 3 ingredients. No cancer-causing filth. Go eat chips guilt-free. May I recommend a little dab of hot sauce on there? They have all kinds of flavors. Go to massachips.com/JesseTV.
I can think of nothing more horrific than a mother having to hold her dying child. How can Virginians trust a man who said something so horrific, so callously?
Well, again, I am so deeply, deeply sorry for what I said, and I wish that it hadn't happened, and I would take it back if I could.
I wish that it hadn't happened. That's my favorite thing in the world. That's what I say to my wife when she finds the empty bag of Doritos in the trash can. Look, I wish it hadn't happened. Joining me now, Carly Bird, opinion writer for the Daily Wire, Daily Caller. Hey, Carly, he wishes it hadn't happened. What's the big deal?
I mean, this guy is absolutely on a different planet. I mean, listen, we talk about October surprises. You talk about politicians who misspeak or stumble. Let us be very clear. This is somebody who believes that murdering your political opponent is an option, and he's running to be the top law enforcement officer of the state of Virginia. And he has the gall to sit there and say, I'm sorry, as if, I don't know, it was like an insult that he didn't mean. This is next level. It should be rejected across the board. And as you just saw from that clip, he has no answer for it. And whatever he thinks his answer is, Virginians are watching, and he does not pass the test.
Pray to God you are correct. I am a bit concerned about how widespread Jay Jones's feelings are. Here was Tim Kaine.
Look, you read these and it's shocking. It is shocking. I do know him well. I've known him since he was a teenager. I ran against his father for lieutenant governor in a Democratic primary in 2001. It's been 25 years ago. I think I know him pretty well. This was clearly a very, he was very worked up about something at the time and shared thoughts in a way that shouldn't come across your mind, much less get put into a test. The voters are going to have to figure that out, but knowing him for 25 years gives me a vantage point on him, and that's why I'm still supporting him.
Carly, they're all still supporting him. There's been no backtracking, no widespread condemnation. In fact, even the voters themselves, when polled, Democrat voters, don't have any problem with it. Where does that put us as a country?
In a dark place. I wrote about this in a piece for the Daily Wire recently, where I basically make the point that Jay Jones is a symptom of a larger problem. The rot is much deeper in the Democrat Party. There was a poll that was done after Charlie Kirk's assassination that found that liberals, specifically young liberals, 40% are okay murdering political opponents, or that should at least be something that could be considered as a way to get your political agenda across. That's what Jay Jones believes. Tim Kaine is sitting there absolutely shameless, refusing to rescind his endorsement. This should be like the bottom of the bottom. Hello, take away your endorsements from somebody who thinks murdering people based on their political opinions is okay. And by the way, watching a mother hold their dying child, that's also okay if you don't agree with me on Second Amendment rights, says Jay Jones. This is disgusting. It should be a no-brainer for Abigail Spanberger, everybody on that side of the aisle to say, hey, this isn't okay. Remember, this is the party who lectures us on morality 24/7. And I don't want to hear it anymore, because they have somebody they have now put and said out loud that they are totally fine with somebody who wants to murder their political opponents at the top of the law enforcement of the state of Virginia. It's disgusting. It should be rejected. It's going to be a big problem for Abigail Spanberger. She thinks that she can sit there and not say anything, let the voters decide, get away with it. I am telling you, I have looked at the early voting that's already underway here in Virginia. The turnout in Republican strongholds is way surpassing the Democrats. People are fed up with this insanity. Abigail Spanberger's basically her unwillingness to distance herself from this person, saying she's going to condemn it. But I see signs with their names next to each other. No, Virginians are smarter than that. She doesn't look like a leader. She looks weak. And that's what people are starting to see is, wait a minute, who is this person? This Abigail Spanberger, I was told she was super moderate and, you know, whatever. Now she's out here refusing to rescind her endorsement of somebody who's literally advocating for murder. No, I think this is going to be a huge problem for her. If you would have asked me maybe before these texts came to light, I would say that the feeling on the ground here in Virginia, I live in Virginia Beach, is really not so great. I think that there has been a huge momentum shift, and we saw that. I think the Democrats feel it too. You saw Barack Obama come out and say, I'm endorsing Abigail Spanberger 19 days from Election Day. Everybody remembers in 2021 that happened with Terry McAuliffe 10 days before Glenn Youngkin won. And so I think that when, you know, the going gets tough, they call in Obama. It didn't work last time. I don't think it's going to work this time.
Yeah, I think the bloom is kind of off the Obama rose. Speaking of Abigail Spanberger and problems, she has a problem that I believe is probably going to plague every Democrat for the next few years. The whole tranny and girls' bathrooms problem. Here she was.
Would you rescind the Youngkin administration policy requiring boys and girls to use bathrooms aligning with their biological sex? You have 30 seconds.
My priority would be to ensure that local communities, importantly parents and teachers,
that's
and educators,
yes or no,
are able to work together to meet the unique needs of each school and each community.
But Ms. Spanberger, the question was, would you rescind the Youngkin administration policy requiring boys and girls to use bathrooms aligning with their biological sex? You have 15 seconds to clarify that question.
Yes.
And my answer is that in each local community, decisions should be made between parents and educators and teachers in each community.
Well, that's known in football as punting. They continue to do this. Is that good enough for the voters?
I don't think so. I think that, first of all, I have to give actually credit to the two moderators of that debate who continually pushed Abigail Spanberger to say, okay, but what do you mean? And can you take a position on this? She was pushed on her endorsement of Jay Jones. You saw in that clip, she was asked to clarify her position there. She doesn't want to say it out loud because she has gotten away with basically being painted as this moderate suburban mom who really just wants to tackle rising costs for families. She is a vessel for a far left agenda that is coming to Virginia if Winsome Sears does not win this election. She has already, you could just tell from that answer, she's not willing to say that boys should use boy bathrooms and girls should use girl bathrooms. As a mother myself, and I know she's a mother, that is absurd. I guarantee you she doesn't want her daughters sharing a bathroom with a biological boy, but she's going to make everybody else pay for it because guess what? She can't enrage her base lest she lose this poll. But she also has said that she would rescind Governor Youngkin's actions to make Virginia a sanctuary state again. This is a far left Democrat. She is a wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't think Virginians are going to fall for it because, again, you're seeing the turnout already in early voting. Republicans are motivated. This October surprise was one of the biggest I've seen in my time in politics, these texts from Jay Jones. People are waking up, and let me tell you, I would much rather be in Winsome Sears' shoes right now than Abigail Spanberger's trying to defend and get away from. They're in crisis mode. They have days. This is when everybody pays attention. You know, if something like this happened, let's say 6 months ago, people are still sleeping at the wheel on this. Their kids are going back to school. They're busy. People are dialed in. They're watching her. They're watching her answers. And they are seeing that there is a lot at stake in this race. I don't think Virginians are going to fall for it. They're starting to see that she is a far left radical. And I think it's going to be a big, big problem for her.
Yeah, I think you're right. Carly, appreciate you very much. Thanks for coming. All right. That's the good news. All right, that was a lot of good news. I feel better. Now let's feel worse. Let's stop. We're going to talk about New York City, a place I love dearly. But can't help it. I love it. I'm not so sure it's going to be good news when this commie scumbag Mamdani, I don't know, his name's stupid, when he gets up for election, because I think he's going to be the next mayor, and as Stettman is in the belly of the beast, let's hear what she has to say next. Let me tell you about energy. Feeling good all the time. Feeling good in the morning when you wake up. Feeling energized, ready to take on the day. At work. Not sitting there staring at the clock, give me another cup of coffee. When you get home, don't you want to enjoy your family, your time to yourself? You want to go shooting, go for a walk? Get your T levels up. You can't walk through your life being low T and tired and depressed all the time. That's no way to live. We are drinking estrogen. It's in the birth control. We can't get it out of the water. It's in the we shower in estrogen. We have lost half of our testosterone in the last 50 years. That's societal extinction if we don't turn it around. Chalk is trying to turn it around with natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Just try it. You're 3 months away from feeling like a new person. Chalk.com/JesseTV.
I am in favor of defunding the police. I think that what we need to do is not chip away $1 million or $5 million. I think in this first year, we need to take $1 billion out of that budget.
Are prisons obsolete?
I think that frankly, I mean, what purpose do they serve? I think we have to ask ourselves that.
We'll have to go beyond the market. We can establish community land trusts to gradually buy up housing on the private market and convert it to community ownership.
We have to continue to elect more socialists, and we have to ensure that we are unapologetic about our socialism. There are also other issues that we firmly believe in, whether it's BDS, right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production.
सवाल पूछना चाहता हूँ. तुमने कभी किसी को वोट किया?
I'm so sad for the city I love so much. I just see like this freight train coming. It's like I'm tied to the tracks. Joining me now is someone who actually is tied to the tracks. Inez Stettman, senior policy analyst for the Independent Women's Forum. Inez, I know it's not your style, but make me feel better. He's not going to win, right?
It looks like he's going to win, in part because his opponents really couldn't get their act together, as is so often the case, and also because he is the zeitgeist of the new left. He reflects his voters very well. So unfortunately, he looks like he's going to pull this one out, although, you know, I'll hold out hope for the city that I love for this not to be the case.
You know, Inez, somehow I don't see that coming, because as much as I despise that dirty little communist, he is good at this. He's charismatic, speaks well, he's got that big stupid fake smile on his big stupid face. I just don't see how he falls on his face.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't I don't believe he's charismatic. People keep telling me this, and maybe it's just one of those things that when you hate somebody's views so much, you can't objectively analyze them. But I truly don't see what people are talking about. He seems extremely inauthentic on top of his extreme views. So he's being real in a sense about his views, but the way that he talks to people to me is very like off-putting and inauthentic and fake. But look, you can't argue with results, right? And I think more than anything, like I said, I think he is the essence of the progressive base of the Democratic Party. And that's a base that's extremely frustrated right now and looking for an outlet, having lost a lot of national power in the last year or so. So they're looking for outlets, whether that's, you know, celebrating political violence or electing Zohran Mamdani. Unfortunately, they want to destroy New York City to essentially give the finger to Trump. That's really what this is about. And unfortunately, those of us who live in New York City are going to have to suffer because essentially the left's base is having a temper tantrum.
And as I think about the NYPD and how it has rotted so badly over the last 10 years because the good cops are putting in their retirement papers, they're going to walk a beat in Florida somewhere, they don't want to serve under scumbags like de Blasio. And now I can't help but think this is going to be about the last of them, right? Unless you're a year away from retirement trying to ride it out, they're checking out. And that department, which has been so revered and correctly so for so long, is going to be full of the biggest bunch of scumbags. And that breaks my heart, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best police force in the world in New York City. These are guys who put their lives on the line every day. It's a big, roiling city, even under good law and good circumstances, which it is decidedly not today. It's a dangerous job, but it's notable compared to other liberal cities. And I've been telling people on the right about this for years. Actually, New York, since Giuliani, even under de Blasio, right, it stayed fairly safe compared to other big blue cities because the NYPD was the final firewall, right? So Albany was letting people out on bail immediately after knifing people, and there was nothing the city could do about that. But at least the cops would go out and arrest people and take them off the street for 24 hours, for 48 hours. That's a lot, actually. That does a lot in terms of crime, or in comparison to DC, which has now done a total U-turn under Trump rule, essentially. But before, where the police have just given up, right? The police won't show up to any call that's not extremely serious, right? You can get your car jacked there and the cops will maybe show up hours and hours later. Maybe they'll take your report, even though you have a beacon like or a tracker in your car and you can tell them where your stolen car is. They won't pursue it. They've just sort of given up, right? And that wasn't the case in New York City for a very long time, but I think you're right. There's a lot of these guys that, I mean, who wants to be the cop who had to shoot a potentially young black perp under Zohran Mamdani as mayor? You know that you're going to become you're going to become the pincushion of the year for the left and for the mayor. So who wants to, I understand. I mean, you got to understand why somebody would say, I've had it. I don't want to risk my livelihood. I don't want to risk my family. I don't want to risk my reputation for a city that doesn't respect me and doesn't respect that sacrifice at all.
Yeah, I'd be gone so freaking fast. No, I don't blame him at all. One thing that does surprise me is the fall of Andrew Cuomo. Here he is.
The city of New York. We are the capital of diversity. 180 languages spoken in our school system. 180 different languages, people from all across the world. That makes us stronger, not weaker.
And as the Cuomo family is royalty in New York City, he went from the governor's mansion to being booted out for having magic fingers, and now he's going to lose to this little turd for New York City mayor. How did someone fall that fast?
I mean, I think it really is about dynamics in the Democratic Party, and we should be familiar with it on the right. To me, this race has some of that feeling, that vibe of the 2016 race with Trump versus the entire Republican field, right? You have to understand that as radical as the Democratic Party is, its power brokers, its corrupt power brokers like Andrew Cuomo, they're not enough for the base of the party. The fact that he shut down the entire city over COVID and forced everybody to have vax passports, that wasn't enough. And by the way, the Me Too scandals, that has become the signature calling card, particularly in New York, where the Democratic Party wants to take out one of their own. is they manufacture or find or, you know, have somebody remember a Me Too scandal, usually of relatively minor proportions. Like the things that Andrew Cuomo was accused of was making kind of inappropriate jokes. I think maybe like grabbing a thigh under a table or something. We're not talking about like a serial rapist here. But he is the face of the establishment of the Democratic Party, and that's simply not radical enough for a lot of Democratic voters. So that's why they booted him out. And it has that sort of, people still think he might be able to win. He's not, you know, completely out of the running when it comes to the polls, but he has that stink of the loser on him at this point. And I'm sort of skeptical that he's going to be able to pull it out, even though most of the barriers in front of him have been removed by people who are desperate to see Mondami not be elected mayor, to see anybody but Mondami, which anybody but Mondami really is, you know, Cuomo's only line that could convince anyone to vote for him at this point.
And as what does this mean for the Democrat Party nationally? Because you're so correct in that their animalistic base now has their politicians afraid. They run the party now. I mean, Chuck Schumer's afraid of AOC. That it's well known, but these things don't sell nationally. So it looks like they're going extinct. I mean, it's hard to imagine this can continue forever.
It's really a mirror image of what happened with Republicans, because as you know, Jesse, and you and I have agreed on this for years, and it's been frustrating us for years, Republican politicians will go to their voters, go to their district, and they'll run through a laundry list of positions that you and I agree with, and they'll say, these are my positions, send me to Washington. And then they'll go and take up that seat in Washington or in our state legislatures after Republican voters vote for them, and they will not accomplish any of those things. They won't even vote for those things. Right, that they promised. So they actually moved to the center when they were elected. And that was the big divide between the base and the establishment of the party. Interestingly enough, I think it's kind of a mirror image in the Democratic Party, where they don't say the things that the base wants them to say, because they know that moderates are turned away by their full-throated endorsement of the fantasy that a man can become a woman and should play in women's sports, right? They've pulled back rhetorically from some of those positions, and their base is mad that they've pulled back rhetorically from some of those positions. But when you actually look at how they vote in Washington or in our state capitals, they vote not that far out of step with their progressive base. I mean, if you look at Andrew Cuomo's positions, now he's hitting Mondami on the crime issue, right, that you brought up. He's hitting Mondami on the crime issue. Andrew Cuomo signed into law the bail reform that is absolutely killing New York State right now, that has people who are, you know, slashing people in the subway out on the street the next day. Andrew Cuomo's record is not tough on crime. It's lunatically left on crime. But he's rhetorically pulled back on that, and that's what angers his voters. So it really is, it is like this mirror image, weird, warped version of the same divide between the base and the establishment of the party. Except in this case, you know, I think the smart Democratic voter would probably be happier, right, than the Republican voter, because these guys do vote left when they get into office. They just don't say it as loudly.
They do. It'd be nice to actually have our politicians do what they kind of say. That would be something. Inez, thank you so much. I appreciate you. All right. Pennsylvania is really important. Really, really important. I am getting the feeling that Pennsylvania is going our way. I'm not saying that it is. Still have a Democrat governor and all that, you know, Democrat Senator Fetterman. But if Pennsylvania could go from purple to solidly red, that would essentially block Democrats out from national power for the foreseeable future. But I'm not saying that's happening. Cliff Maloney is on the ground in Pennsylvania. Let's hear what he says next. We're in this wonderful period of time, something I never thought I would say, where feminism is being rejected, but America is embracing fat. It's wild. It almost doesn't make sense until you understand that fat is actually good for you. It's not bad for you. Natural fats. We cook with canola oil and vegetable oil. We grab this tub of goo that's just a big bunch of cancer-causing filth, and we cook with it. We deep fry with it, and we don't have to. Golden Age Fats is here, so we don't have to. Beef tallow. It's not only good for you, it's delicious. You can start having things. Make your fried chicken at home. We make fries all the time with it. We make fries, got my little deep fryer, golden age tallow, chop up a potato, guilt-free fries. That's what you should do as well. Go to goldenagefats.com/JesseTV.
I got to walk at my college graduation. I've never broken the law. She had to pay federal fines for breaking federal law on stock trades and stock reporting. And the New York Times reports was trading defense stocks while sitting on the House Armed Services Committee.
Well, did you make $7 million in stock trades at all? Or?
I don't believe I did, but I'd have to go see what that was alluding to. Again, what kind of came from.
Ow. I don't know if I made $7 million. Look, there's a lot of ins, a lot of outs. Joining me now, Cliff Maloney, CEO of Citizens Alliance. All right, Cliff, we're going to spend a little bit on Jersey and then spend a little bit on Pennsylvania. Look, when I tell people Pennsylvania is turning red, no one's surprised. When people hear New Jersey might be, they're quite surprised. Is it?
Yeah, look, New Jersey is in play. I didn't think I'd say that a year ago. You know, we've launched this New Jersey Chase program, pretty much taking all the tactics that we learned in 2024 from Pennsylvania and going right over the bridge to be in New Jersey. And look, I got to tell you guys, you know, Jack Cittarelli, the more time people spend with him, he's very comparable to a likable guy, a decent person, a family man. He's a man's man, right? When you hang out with him, he's a cool dude. Mikey Sherrill is absolutely the Kamala Harris of New Jersey, right? The more time she spends with voters, the more votes she loses. And so this race, it is neck and neck. Polling is pretty much dead heat. And it's going to come down to two things. Can we compete when it comes to vote by mail? And do we have the turnout that Republicans typically have on election day? I'm focused on mail. A lot of people focused on election day turnout. But this is a winnable race for Jack Cittarelli.
Okay. So is this one of those cases, Cliff, no matter how the race goes, it's close, that's good. I mean, I want to win. But is this one of those cases where it's kind of a perfect storm in our favor? Their candidate sucks. Our candidate's a cool dude. And then, of course, in the future, they'll continue to vote Democrat every single election. Or is the state actually trending in our direction?
Yeah, so registrations show that it is trending towards Republican. And the one thing to point out to your listeners, Jesse, look at a lot of the Democrat endorsements. This is why I don't think this is a one-time deal, like you said, right? It's not just some random thing and it'll go back. You have a ton of Democrat mayors, Democrat council members that are coming out and supporting Jack Cittarelli. And I think the reason for that is because we know politicians only care about three things: getting elected, getting reelected, and getting elected to higher office. And they're looking at the equation and they're realizing that the tide is moving. And if Jack Cittarelli wins, they don't want to be sitting out for 4 years when a Republican's in the governor's mansion. So they're seeing how people are reacting. They're seeing how voters are interested, and they're just not willing to go with this woke nonsense that the left continues to parade around. Jesse, I said this on your show before. I thought that after November 5th in 2024, that the left would have a full pivot. They'd realize, hey, listen, we can't side with illegals over Americans. We can't want men in girls' bathrooms. Mikey Sherrill is the exact replica of what the Democrat message has been for the past 4 years. That's a huge win for us, but it tells me the state is shifting to the right. I don't think it's short term. I think it's a long term change, and New Jersey is showing us that it's not just Jersey, but I think this is going to continue to have a ripple effect across the country.
Is the reasoning behind it kind of what you just alluded to, Cliff, where they're just getting too batty, too crazy? I mean, New Jersey may be a traditional union Democrat state, but they don't want trannies in sports. They don't want this. Or is it something deeper?
Well, I think what you just said with unions is pretty clear, too, when it comes to Jack. It's the blue collar versus the elites, right? We saw in 2024, it's exactly what's happening in 2025. Any hardworking person that's trying to pay their mortgage, to put food on the table, to take their kids to basketball practice, they're going to vote for Jack Cittarelli, right? So it's a mix. Is it deeper? Yes. You've got a lot of things that are happening nationally, but I just think that so many normal folks look at the left and they say, they have gone too far. And when you look at the candidates on the right that are talking to normal people that are trying to fix, let me give you this example. Okay, Jack Chitarelli's entire campaign is about lowering the cost of energy, electrical bills, hitting the pocketbook, and trying to save people money. Mikey Sherrill, her whole campaign is just running on this elitist type woke stuff that nobody cares about, these 2080 issues. So yes, there's some topical things at play here, but it is deeper. I think the country is realizing the left is out of control, and this is a referendum on how far left they're going to go.
Cliff, let's cross the bridge to Pennsylvania. I know it's not ours yet. I get that. Is it going to be?
It will be. And your viewers here, take my pledge that by 2028, Pennsylvania will become the red wall that makes it impossible for Democrats to win a national election again. Look, we're using the playbook that they used. Okay, our PA Chase program that I came on the show and talked about all last year, we didn't leave. We're back in 2025. We're going to be there every single year. This year, knocking 500,000 doors. Next year, for the midterm, 750,000 doors. And in 2028, we're going to knock 1 million doors through the Pennsylvania Chase program in Pennsylvania. Now, you might say, Jesse, well, what are you focused on? It doesn't matter. What you're doing is you're developing habit amongst Republican voters that are never going to vote on election day. They're low propensity, unlikely to vote. But if you get them to request a ballot and you get them to send it back, they're developing a habit and understand the process. If you vote this year, 2025, you are absolutely going to vote in the midterms in 2026. And so that's what we're doing. We're following the Dems playbook of getting that habit built. And so every year they understand what they need to do. If I add 1,000 voters in each of our three congressional swing districts that vote this year, that didn't vote last year, that's going to flip some of those seats. That's the permanent infrastructure that we need.
I like it. How do people get involved in either of these races if they want, Cliff? Should they?
They should. Folks can help out. $175 sponsors an entire day of ballot chasing. You can go to pachase.com or njchase.com, on X at Maloney. Follow all the updates. But Jesse, as always, appreciate you and everything you do for this movement.
Oh, man, I appreciate you very much. Thanks for putting in the work. We got to put in the work. That's putting in the work. And that kind of stuff inspires me because we are getting better. I know we have a long way to go. I have a long way to go. Don't we all? We can all do more. But we're doing it. We're doing something. Things are happening. It's a great thing. All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I know we're talking about elections tonight, campaign special, talking about the elections coming up. But one of the reasons the Democrat Party is in free fall right now is Grandma Vodka got too old and too drunk to keep control of the party, so she just let it go. Now, though, I mean, credit to her, she is spending her final years in office hammering beers in the morning and telling reporters to shut up in the afternoon.
Congresswoman Pelosi, are you at all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day? Are you at all concerned about the new January 6th committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
Shut up. And I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.